The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 22, Text Number 7, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 26th, 2006, in Sydney, Australia.
So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter Number 22, The Marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, Text Number 7.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Dishyatvayanushishtoham
Kritaschanu grohomahan Apavritai karna randhrayar Dushtadishyo shatirgira.
Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. I have fortunately been instructed by you, and thus great favor has been bestowed upon me. I thank God that I have listened with open ears to your pure words. Purport. Srila Rupa Goswami has given directions in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu on how to accept a bona fide spiritual master and how to deal with him. First, the desiring candidate must find a bona fide spiritual master. And then he must very eagerly receive instructions from him and execute them. This is reciprocal service. A bona fide spiritual master, or saintly person, always desires to elevate a common man who comes to him. Because everyone is under the delusion of Maya and its forgetfulness of his prime duty, Krishna consciousness, a saintly person always desires that everyone become a saintly person. It is the function of a saintly person to invoke Krishna consciousness in every forgetful common man. Manu said that since he was advised and instructed by Kardama Muni, he was very much favored. He considered himself lucky to receive the message by oral reception. It is especially mentioned here that one should be very inquisitive to hear with open ears from the authorized source of the bona fide spiritual master. How is one to receive? One should receive the message by oral reception. The word karna randrai means through the holes of the ears. The favor of the spiritual master is not received through any other part of the body but the ears. This does not mean, however, that the spiritual master gives a particular type of mantra through the ears in exchange for some dollars. And if the man meditates on that, he achieves perfection and becomes God within 6 months. Such reception through the ears is bogus. The real fact is that a bona fide spiritual master knows the nature of a particular man and what sort of duties he can perform in Krishna consciousness, and he instructs him in that way. He instructs him through the ear, not privately, but publicly. You are fit for such and such work in Krishna consciousness. You can act in this way. One person is advised to act in Krishna consciousness by working in the deity's room. Another is advised to act in Krishna consciousness by performing editorial work. Another is advised to do preaching work. and another is advised to carry out Krishna consciousness in the cooking department. There are different departments of activity in Krishna consciousness, and a spiritual master, knowing the particular ability of a particular man, trains him to act in such a way that by his tendency to act, he becomes perfect. Bhagavad Gita makes it clear that one can attain the highest perfection of spiritual life simply by offering service according to his ability, just as Arjuna served Krishna by his ability in the military art. Arjuna offered his service fully as a military man and he became perfect. Similarly, an artist can attain perfection simply by performing artistic work under the direction of the spiritual master. If one is a literary man, he can write articles and poetry for the service of the Lord under the direction of the spiritual master. One has to receive the message of the spiritual master regarding how to act in one's capacity, for the spiritual master is expert in giving such instructions. This combination, the instruction of the spiritual master and the faithful execution of the instruction by the disciple, makes the entire process perfect. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes in his explanation of the verse in Bhagavad Gita, Vyavyasayatmaka Buddhi, that one who wants to be certain to achieve spiritual success must take the instruction from the spiritual master as to what his particular function is. He should faithfully try to execute that particular instruction and should consider that his life and soul. The faithful execution of the instruction which he receives from the spiritual master is the only duty of a disciple, and that will bring him perfection. One should be very careful to receive the message from the spiritual master through the ears and execute it faithfully. That will make one's life successful. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Kananjana Shalakaya Shakshurud Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manomishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rup Gadamai Dati Svapadantikam. How much clearer can it be? The system of becoming perfect. Srila Prabhupada has made it so crystal clear. One simply has to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. One has to receive particular instructions from the spiritual master according to one's capacity, according to one's proclivity. One will be guided and instructed by the spiritual master. And then one must accept whatever order he has received as his very life and soul. Srila Prabhupada explains in another purport how one must meditate on the order, always meditate on the order that one receives from one's Guru Maharaj. And not only he meditates, but he worships that order. And then Prabhupada goes on to elaborate even further that he does not allow himself to be disturbed by anything else. His life and soul is the order he received from his spiritual master. And he has no other program, no other agenda. Simply, what does my spiritual master want me to do? How can I please him? So this is the essence of Krishna consciousness here in today's verse and purport. We can understand what is the pure essence. Nowadays, we hear from some corners. One philosophy which has become known as Vitvic philosophy. They say that only Srila Prabhupada can be the spiritual master. That the age-long system known as the Siddhic succession, which has gone on for thousands and thousands of years, now it has come to an end. There will be no more acharyas after Prabhupada. This is their concocted philosophy. But if you try to apply this purport to their philosophy, it doesn't work. If Prabhupada is the only one who can be the spiritual master, then that means you need to get a specific assignment directly from Prabhupada. So how will you get it? Is it? How will you get the specific assignment directly from Prabhupada? You may claim, well, in my dreams I'm getting. But that could be your imagination. So this purport completely defeats their nonsense idea that after Prabhupada there are no more acharyas. The age-old system, the unbroken line of succession now is broken. That is their philosophy. It's now broken. Finished. So, this is a wonderful, wonderful program that Prabhupada is describing here. It's based on love. It's based on wanting to please someone. Even in our family relationships, husband and wife, family members, the successful, happy family life is based on wanting to please the other family members. So here it is not just like some corporate thing where you have an order and you have to do it or you get fired. It's not like that. Srila Prabhupada explains that to join a spiritual family, to become a part of a spiritual family, that is one of the items of surrender to Krishna. So here we see that it is such a nice thing. It is loving feeling. I want to please this person. I want to please my spiritual master. He is dedicating himself, putting himself at karmic risk, taking my karma. You see. He is taking the responsibility to deliver me from my repetition of birth and death. He is giving so purely and lovingly, giving himself to me. Now let me reciprocate. We could sense how much Prabhupada loved us, how much he was giving himself to us. So that inspired us that we want to love him back. Of course we could, that was wonderful because the more we would give our love to Prabhupada, the more he could give love to us also. But of course we could never give him enough back because he's a pure devotee. He's giving unlimited love at every second to everyone. Like a fountainhead of pure love just in all directions. Prabhupada was like that. So we could sense each and every member of the society, even if we weren't directly going on the morning walks, we weren't one of the intimate leaders who was with him, you know, consulting with him step by step. We were just some rank and file member, you know, washing the pots in the kitchen, going out distributing Back to Godhead magazines on the parking lot. Didn't matter what our position was, everyone felt how much Prabhupada loved them. And therefore, even though we weren't getting paid, we were willing to work very hard for Srila Prabhupada. because he loved us. And we knew that, and we wanted to love him back. So this same loving relationship between guru and disciple, it is meant to continue. It is meant to continue throughout the ages, at least for the next 10,000 years. Prabhupada told us how this movement will continue. That for the next 10,000 years, his books will be the law books. So at least for the next 10,000 years, we expect things will continue like this. These Ritviks, they say that only one Acharya in ISKCON, Prabhupada. But in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada told us, he said, now we are 10,000. And then we will be 100,000. And then we will be 1,000,000. And then we will be 10,000,000. There will be no scarcity of acharyas. So actually, Prabhupada wants that every one of us should become acharya. We should become ideal Vaishnavas who can inspire and enthuse everyone to take to Krishna consciousness just by our example. This is a wonderful duty that Prabhupada is actually giving to all of us. He wants each and every one of us to become acharyas. This is our family business. Just like when I go to Vrindavan, I go to one shop called Ganga Prasad to get my kurta, dhoti, chadar, whatever. So it is family business. We see they have the father's picture there, and the young boys, they're learning how to do. We see how the young boy, he's folding the dhotis very nicely and stacking everything, looking very nice. So every family member, they're trained into the family business. So our family business is to produce acharya. You see? That is our family business. Every ISKCON member must learn how to become acharya, an ideal Vaishnava. Ideal in all respects. Ideal in thought, ideal in speech, ideal in action. So that we can actually do our duty. Prabhupada told us, as I have been mentioning recently, the whole world is presently being managed by rogues and demons. Now you make your life successful and you take the management. So we are not meant to be political managers, although some devotees could do. But we are meant to be Brahman. We are meant to be the mentors, the spiritual masters, those persons who can actually guide and inspire people by ideal behavior and by ideal guidance. So this is a great responsibility we have. It's a wonderful, wonderful, exciting responsibility. The program in the old days, in the early days of ISKCON, every time somebody became a little fixed up, now go out and open a temple. That was the old days, that was the program. Prabhupada met with some of the disciples and he said, okay. And they looked at the globe. They said, okay, Brahmananda will go here, Gargamuni will go here. They divide the whole world up. One devotee has this part of the world, another devotee that part of the world, you see. So this is the kind of responsible mood that Prabhupada wants in his followers. That we are willing to take full responsibility to establish Krishna consciousness. If my spiritual master says, you work in the deity department here in the Sydney temple, then we do. Yes, Guru Maharaj is instructed. And then if he says, now go to Siberia, and establish a center in Siberia. Yes, Guru Maharaj. Whatever my Guru Maharaj gives, I simply accept. You see, this is what is described here. The disciple takes whatever instruction he has been given, and he embraces that instruction as his very life and soul. We see how Prabhupada is the ideal example. Of course, he argued a little bit in the beginning. He got the instruction that you should spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. But he protested, who will listen to our message? We are under British rule. It is more important that we get out of British rule than spreading Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. That was his argument. And he said, but of course, Guru Maharaj defeated me. And Prabhupada was very, very happy when he was defeated. Yes, now I have found my spiritual master. He said, practically, he initiated me. Prabhupada did not get diksha for 11 more years, but he actually felt that was his moment of initiation, you see. Because that's when he gave his heart to his spiritual master. When he was defeated, and he accepted that defeat. The initiation ceremony is a, you know, when you sign the contract. Official signing of the contract. Yes, your order is my life and soul. But when you actually give your heart to the spiritual master, yes, this person is it for me. This person is my spiritual master. That's called practical initiation. So Prabhupada said, I was always thinking I have met such a wonderful, saintly person. By force of livelihood obligation, he ended up in Allahabad. And when the Gaudiya Math devotees came for opening center there, he was so happy, so enlivened. Oh, these, they have come from Gaudiya Math. He was so happy. And he just became very, very enthusiastic to do whatever he, anything and everything to help them with the preaching work in Allahabad. And Prabhupada was so keen for hearing from Guru Maharaj. They were doing that Vrindavan Parikrama. And in Vrindavan, of course, there are so many temples. So in the evening time, of course in Sydney, nightlife means going to nightclub. But in the Vrindavan area, nightlife means going for darshan. This temple, that temple. It is very exciting nightlife. Darshan, darshan. Just like our Krishna Balaram Mandir, it is the most lively night spot, in the, especially during Kartik. Thousands of people come, you see. Darshan. You see. So, the evening darshan is very popular. So, Srila Bhakti Sanata Sarasvati Thakur, he was giving the Pravachan in the evening. Of course, he speaks with very elevated English. Even we native speakers, we have to get out our unabridged dictionary. What is he talking about? The materialistic deminar cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat who is forever inviting. And this way we go, oh, what? So Prabhupada said, I would understand or I would not understand. But still, I would go on hearing. He was very eager. I must hear Guru Maharaj. I must hear him. Even if he couldn't understand, what's he talking? No, I must keep on hearing him. Understand or not understand, doesn't matter. So, then the devotees, they said, Guru Maharaj, there is this Abhay Babu in Allahabad. We think that he should become your disciple. He said, yes, this boy hears very nicely. I will initiate him. He said, he had noticed, this one is hearing nicely. The others, they were going for darshan. Only a few, small number would stay. Most all the followers, they wouldn't even go stay to hear Guru Maharaj speak in the evening because it was the darshan time. Well, we will hear Guru Maharaj later. But now we will go for darshan. But Prabhupada never went for darshan in those evening times. When Guru Maharaj was speaking, he would simply sit and hear Guru Maharaj explaining the science of bhakti. So, how was it that Prabhupada became such a powerful, potent preacher? Prabhupada told us how he became the preacher that he became. He says, because I heard nicely, now I can speak nicely. So, if you have a desire to become a very good preacher who can make devotees, who can attract people to chant Hare Krishna, who can attract people to come to the temple and bow down, who can attract people to purchase a book, if you desire to, and I can tell you there's nothing more enlivening than being a preacher. One who can actually wonderfully present Krishna in such a way that people go, wow. There's nothing more enlivening, nothing more thrilling than to learn how to do that. And to do that and experience how people are being how their consciousness is being transformed. There's nothing more enlivening to see that happening. Of course, it's all Krishna who's doing it. But to be an instrument in Krishna's doing that is the greatest thrill. So how do we qualify ourselves to be such an instrument that our spiritual master can use for uplifting the consciousness of the conditioned souls? It simply comes back to this point of hearing. And if we hear very nicely, then we will come to the point where we can speak very nicely also. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langyate ginam yat kripa tamaham bhante shri guru dinataranam. By mercy of guru, the lame man, he can cross over the mountain, and someone who is totally incompetent, can't speak very well, but he can deliver eloquent speeches by the mercy of guru. So that mercy, as we are reading today, comes through the ears. That's where we capture the mercy. By hearing with rapt attention the bona fide message coming from the bona fide spiritual master, then we have the bona fide transformation of the heart, not the pseudo enlightenment of the New Age people. Now I am God. No, not the pseudo-enlightenment. We have bona fide transformation of the heart. Jivera svarupahai krishnera nityadas. The constitutional position of the living being is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. That we will realize. That is actual spiritual enlightenment. You see? When you realize I am Krishna's eternal servant, that's who I am. I thought I was this, I thought I was that. It was all wrong. I am simply the servant of Krishna. That's it. So in this way, if we will follow the wonderful guidelines coming from these great, great acharyas, Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta. By following the wonderful, wonderful, sublime, sweet, nectarian, thrilling, exciting instructions of these great acharyas, then we will live in that wonderful state of consciousness known as Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is inconceivably sweet. We may think we know what is Krishna consciousness, but the real fact is we don't really know what Krishna consciousness is yet. We're just getting a slight little glimpse of an idea, enough to keep us going. But the real fact is that we don't really even know what it is yet. It's so inconceivably wonderful. The prayer, I think it is Rupa Goswami, he was saying, the name is so sweet. So there's so much nectar in the name that if I had thousands and millions of tongues, then I may be able to get some of that taste. In other words, just consider there's a whole warehouse full of huge quantity of prasadam. You know, 50,000 gulab jamuns, you know, 20,000 cheesecakes, you know, 8 million pakoras of 25 different varieties, you know. Say, okay, here's the prasadam, honor it. Well, I mean, what can I do? My belly's only that big, I can have a little prasadam and that's about it. You see, I don't have the capacity to enjoy all of that prasadam. So actually the holy name is like that. How much nectar you can squeeze out with that one tongue and that one set of ears. So Rupa Goswami is praying, if I had thousands, millions of tongues and millions of ears, you see. If I had millions of tongues and millions of bellies, then I could relish all of the prasadam in that huge warehouse. Every bit of it. I could honor every single glove jhana. I could have every one of them. But I have not capacity with my one tongue, my one little belly, you see. So my one tongue and my 2 ears, how much I can, there's so much nectar, how much I can get with my one tongue and my 2 ears. In this way he is praying. So we just have to try to understand how much nectar there actually is in one pure utterance of Hare Krishna. There is so much nectar in one pure utterance of these sweet vibrations that the whole universe cannot contain that nectar. Not possible. There's so much gulab jamun juice in one pure utterance of Hare Krishna that it will come oozing out through the coverings of the universe. It is so sweet, so juicy, is it? So we simply have to master this art of how to dive deeper and deeper and deeper into hearing the words coming from our spiritual master, coming from the Vaishnavas, coming from the scriptures, and coming in the sweet form of Krishna's holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now I can ask if any of you have some questions. They leave the body before they got initiated. Okay? So your question is, what's the question then?
So what happens in their life?
What happens?
Do they go back home?
Can they go back to Godhead if they didn't get initiated? Is that the question? Prabhupada gives examples sometimes of people who did go back to Godhead without getting initiated. There are such examples in Prabhupada's teaching. There was one Urdu-speaking man. He was wandering in the forest, and he was Muslim, and the wild boar came, attacked him, and killed him. And In Urdu language, the word, of course, the pig or the hog, his flesh is condemned. It is considered dirty. He is considered dirty, condemned animal. So the word for condemned is haram in Urdu. So as he was being killed by the wild boar, he said, haram! And guess where he went? Prabhupada said he went back to Godhead. And also, there was one devotee of Prabhupada, I think his name was Kartikeya. His mother was not a devotee. She had not joined, but her son had joined. So he was actually with her at the moment of her passing. She said, where is your Krishna? And then she died. So the general principle is, unless you are initiated, Krishna does not accept your service. That is stated in the Nectar Devotion. Without Diksha, Krishna does not accept your service. But Krishna can make exceptions to the rule also under certain conditions. Krishna makes the rule, he can also give the exceptions. Prabhupada also did like that. He would sometimes give special exceptions. So if one wants a university degree, the normal procedure is you enroll in the university, you do the assignments, you go to the lectures, etc. Now, there are cases, however, when the university will give honorary degree. Just like that Rabindranath Tagore, that Bengali poet, he didn't go to university, but he got honorary doctorate from Oxford University. So Krishna can deliver anyone. But there is also a standard process that one goes through if one wants to become delivered. So what happens to a particular individual, that's ultimately up to Krishna. If someone was wanted to be initiated, they'd accepted the principle of Guru, but under circumstances, you know, they hadn't gotten their name yet. But in their heart, they had already accepted Guru. Yes, I'm taking shelter of this Guru. I'm waiting for my Diksha, but then they leave their body. I mean, there's so many different varieties of circumstances. But we should not, in the name of, out of some sentimentalism, throw out the, you know, what Prabhupada has taught us. What is the actual system? There is a standard process by which one qualifies to go back to home, back to Godhead. And we cannot sentimentally negate that. But at the same time, you know, Krishna has the flexibility under, according to the situation, to liberate anyone. Even there's that example in Chaitanya Lila, that one devotee. He thought, I want to deliver the next person I see. So he went for taking bath in Ganga, and the first person he saw was a corpse. And he brought that corpse back to life and made him appear devotee. So, you know, there's all kinds of... Krishna can do any wonderful thing. There's no limit. But there's this, at the same time, there's a standard procedure that we should follow if we want to become qualified to go back to Godhead. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Nardana Vritti, like that. We have faith in the process, we associate with devotees, we take initiation, we follow the principles to cleanse dirt out of the heart. In this way we become fixed up, we get taste, become addicted to the name gradually, absolutely addicted to it. In this way, standard process is followed. But then Krishna can do anything. If one is sincerely trying one's best and there's circumstances which make things sometimes a problem, but one is sincerely trying one's best, Krishna can cover for that. So in any particular case, Krishna knows exactly. We may not always be able to know, but we know the process works if we work the process. So So you had questions? Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Jananda Prabhu.
You mentioned in the earlier part of your talk how initiation, the process of diksha, is like signing a contract.
You've
made a decision.
That's right.
There was one letter in that regard, I don't know, can't remember who to, it was back to somebody who passed away in an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And Prabhupada said that he also wrote, he wrote a letter back saying he went back to Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
Because he accepted him already as his spiritual master, and I accepted him.
It was already a heart-to-heart thing, even though the ceremony hadn't been done yet. Right. That's right. Practical initiation.
Two-way thing.
Hmm?
It was like a two-way thing. Prabhupada accepted him.
Also. Yeah.
But I have a little question, if it's okay.
Okay.
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it does state in one place that the holy name does not wait for initiation.
Okay.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, to really do it well, I would probably have to study the purport to see the whole context in which it is stated. But just to take that statement by itself, a holy name does not wait for initiation. You could also say the holy name itself is an initiation. You could also say it like that. It doesn't have to wait because in one sense it is. All right, what is our initiation ceremony? It is Harinam Diksha. The initiation ceremony is the giving of Harinam. So when one actually receives Harinam from Guru, you see, that is, if one accepts that yes, this Harinam I have heard from spiritual master, this now is my life and soul. That is a practical initiation immediately. You see. So what it could be understood in that way. If I hear from the spiritual master that by chanting these names I will become delivered and I accept this principle, I begin chanting immediately, then my practical initiation is there without any waiting, through the name itself. So that's that sense one could say. That does not mean that one neglects the formalities. Because the third offense against the chanting of the holy names is to disobey the spiritual master. If someone thinks, well, I know how I will never commit that offense. I just won't accept the spiritual master. And then I have it covered. I'll never disobey my guru because I don't have one. Well, that doesn't work because Krishna is also guru. The Vedic scriptures are giving full instruction that we must approach guru. Tasmad gurum prapadyecha jyagyashu shreya uttamam. You see. If you want to achieve that ultimate benefit, you must take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master by initiation. So, to actually accept that name in toto, it's a package deal, really. The pure name includes guru. Because you cannot chant pure name unless you have accepted guru. So it's really, just like they have a bhakta, a starter kit here. Yeah, they have a starter kit available in the Sydney temple. So there's a starter kit. Guru, holy names, it's all there. So, in that way, you can say the holy name doesn't wait for initiation, but the holy name includes initiation also. You can't separate it. Well, all I need is the holy name, I don't need initiation, but then you are Namaparadhi. You may have the name offensively, but you do not have the name offenselessly. You don't have Shudanam, you have Ashudanam. If you try to take out a guru or initiation, you have Ashudanam. You have Nam, but it's not Shudanam. But Shudanam is required. We want to go back to home, back to God. Questions more? Actually, our time is running up. In any second, the Pujari will come and blow the conch. So we will stop here, and we thank you very, very much. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.